Welcome to the Local Spotlight Show here at WJBM Studios in Jerseyville, Illinois, the voice of the Tri-Counties. I am Chris Lorton. I am your host today and my guest today, Craig Robine. Welcome, Craig.
It's good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yes. Another hooner.
Yeah.
Another hooner in the studio.
I know.
I know. There should be a rule against that.
Two people in one place. It's a lot to deal with.
Yes. So, Craig, you're a family man.
Yes, sir.
Married.
Yes, sir.
To Cresha.
Cresha Robine. Cresha Keithley of Jacksonville.
She's of Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. Okay. How'd you guys get together?
So my teammate and college roommate at Indiana University, Mike McGrath, his wife played volleyball at IU, as did my wife. And she was 2 years behind me. So, in fact, her parents had always told her that, hey, you need to look out for this Robine kid. He's from Calhoun, you know. And we never did meet all through college.
Really?
And we were in the same place so many times. And 2 years after, the first time I went back to Indiana, I met my college roommates there, and they introduced us at Nick's, the big bar, the signature bar on IU's campus is where we met. So,
okay. And you have a couple children.
We have three daughters. 17, 15, and 13. Oh. Mabry, Landry, and Brooksley.
So. Okay. And you live on the outskirts of Kane?
In between Kane and Carrollton. We had bought some property there 5 years ago. We were living in Peoria. And my wife knew how much I had always wanted to have a piece of property since we got married, since leaving Calhoun, you know, when you leave the beauty of that place, you always kind of want to, anyone that's from there would attest that you always want to get back to that, you know, and in my travels, in my career, when we had an opportunity to buy a piece of property, you know, back closer to home, not necessarily in Calhoun, we jumped at it and it was kind of an investment. Uh-huh. But she looked at me one day and said, you know what, you love this property. You're never going to get to enjoy it when these girls start high school here in Morton. So if you want to move there, we should do it now, which was not convenient for my job at the time because my office is in Chicago. And everything I'd ever done to that point was solely for my job. We'd always put, you know, that first. And really, it was the most selfish decision we ever made, and it's the best decision we've ever made. We've been very happy there. So.
Yeah, and your job, tell us about that just a little bit.
Right, so I work for a Caterpillar dealership. A lot of people don't know that the dealerships are privately owned, right? Caterpillar is the manufacturer, and different from automobile dealerships, we have exclusive territories. So if you're going to buy a new piece of Caterpillar equipment in Greene County, right, we're right on the line here between Fabic and Altorfer. I work for Altorfer. Greene County all the way to Chicago, the eastern third of Iowa, northeast Missouri, northwest Indiana, you're going to buy that from Altorfer. And Jerseyville, Jersey County South is Fabic. You know, we kind of meet at the Jersey-Greene County line. But I did 100% commission sales for 9 years in Springfield. We moved from Indianapolis to Springfield in 05. It's been almost exactly 20 years that I've been with the company. And then I did was regional sales manager for 5 years in Peoria. And I've been vice president of construction sales and marketing for almost 8 years now. So
good for you.
Right?
Gosh.
It's been fun.
Yeah. Great career in that. Now, you grew up in Calhoun.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to talk a little bit about high school football, mm-hmm. or just when you grew up in Calhoun, that was kind of an era going on as far as football goes.
No doubt.
How old were you, or what grade were you in, you realized, hey, you know what, I'm going to play football for Calhoun?
Oh, my gosh. Well, at that time, so I think Coach Johns came in 82, mm-hmm. right? So by the time that I was old enough to remember or become interested in football was probably like 1985, and I think they went to the semifinals that year.
Yeah.
And I would have been 8 years old, so second grade. And that was about the time, you know, we were all Coach Johns did a great job of penetrating down to the lower levels in the community.
Right.
And so we all were given the old pads that the high schoolers, when they upgraded pads, they'd give the pads to the grade school kids. And, you know, and every year at Christmas, maybe one of you would get like a 49ers helmet, you know, in from the Sears Roebuck catalog, or everyone had different NFL helmets. And we'd take those shoulder pads, which were all too big for us, and we'd pull T-shirts over them. And we'd go, you know, down to Chipper's Lot, down French Street.
Down the lot.
Or over to the old Hardin Grade School. And everyone would just show up. And we'd just play pickup full pad football. You don't see that anymore, you know?
And no adults around.
No. And I think looking back, one of the things that made it special that I think is a struggle for the kids that play today is back then a state championship had never happened. You know, getting to the semifinals in 85 was the biggest thing that had happened in Calhoun football, right? And then in 87, when they went to the championship, it just became... You know, we didn't idolize Joe Montana and Jerry Rice the same way that we idolized Charlie Booth and Jonah White, you know?
Right.
So growing up as kids in that era, you know, we really idolized the high school football players. And they would show up sometimes and watch us play. Like if they were doing two-a-days, they would show up on like a flatbed and they would watch us kids play. And we thought,
what do you mean play where at?
On Chipper's lot? Yeah, on Chipper's lot there on French Street, which was an empty lot next on the street where, you know, me and the Lorton kids and, you know, Aaron Elmore and Jerson, all of us grew up in that neighborhood. Right. And we were having a pickup game one day and all the high school players showed up. Someone had like a flatbed truck and they all rolled in between their two-a-day practices and watched us play. And I remember that being the most intense day of unorganized grade school football because we were all so eager to impress them, you know.
Oh, shoot.
But that's the way it was. It was like, it truly felt like growing up there that if you were going to achieve, you know, any status whatsoever, you'd better be playing football.
That's right. You know, one, you were talking about Coach Johns, and I always thought one reason why he was able to create such a just an atmosphere of football, just iconic, these football players, because he taught art, right?
Yeah.
He taught art in every grade, first grade, I mean, from, I think, maybe even kindergarten, I don't know, but from first grade all the way through 12th grade, he was the art teacher. And what's your favorite class?
Yeah.
Art, right. As a kid, you know? And he would have those kids, he'd be telling them what position they were going to play. Now, you went to the Catholic school, so you didn't get him for art.
Right.
But I think in the grade schools, the public schools, he was able to penetrate that and did a great job recruiting.
Yeah, and I think, again, in retrospect, the most impressive thing he did as a coach, I think, that really led to that is he was always painting the picture throughout the season. It's not just this week, you know. Not that you were looking ahead, but he always had you understand that, hey, this week is just a piece of the season, of the big picture, that we need to get this much better this week in order to beat this team in the semifinals, right? He was always, you're always comparing yourself against the best team, not necessarily the team that you were playing that week. While you prepared for that team and you were focused on them, in your mind you knew that you had to play well enough every week to beat the best team that you were going to play all year. And that was a real... again, in retrospect, a great quality that I think he had as a coach.
I mean, you're a big guy. Were you 6'6"?
6'5", and I'm still over 300 pounds, regrettably, because the weight doesn't do me any good anymore. But in high school, I was 6'5", 235 pounds.
Yeah. Now, as a freshman, how big were you as a freshman?
I remember that distinctly, like 6'1", 200 as a freshman, 6'3", 215 as a sophomore. 6'5", 225 as a junior.
And then
240 as a senior. And then having been recruited as a defensive end for college, I got fat over the summer. And when I showed up there, then I was an offensive lineman going forward. But we all played both ways in high school, as you know.
Now, as a freshman, did you start varsity as a freshman?
In high school?
Yeah.
No. And actually, you know, this is one thing that I probably too many times get credit for the two state champion. When people talk about, oh, he played on two state championship teams. And while that's true, and I'm proud that when I was a sophomore in 92, that we won the state championship and I had a small role on special teams and a big role as a practice player. I was not a significant contributor to the 92 team. I was a significant recipient of what you learned going through an experience like that. So in 93, as a junior, I was really eager to get involved and happy to get to have played both ways and been a significant contributor to that team when we won it again. But I tell people a lot, you know, if 1992 was my senior year and all that I did was play special teams on that team and be a practice player, I understand now the significance of a person like that having been through the college experience. That's a role, right? And not everybody wants to fulfill that role today. Like, it seems like if kids aren't a star today, they lose interest. And really, the quality that I look for as a hiring manager today is if someone played sports, even if they weren't the star, did they stick it out? Were they a contributor? Because the things you take away from that is not your all-conference plaque. You take away the self-discipline, the time management, you know, the work ethic. And those are the things that's the real reward of the sport, you know.
Hey, if you're just joining us, I have Craig Robine with me in studio, and we're talking about Calhoun football just kind of football in general. Craig, how big did the 93 flood play in the team?
Yeah, it was.
That was some crazy times over in Calhoun.
Right. Yeah, it was.
I mean, it was like going through a war.
It was. And as a 16-year-old kid or young man, I would say that it was probably the funnest summer of my life, because while you were going through, the community was going through all this stress, everyone was working and there was very little oversight. So, you know, we'd be out watching pumps all night long on a sandbag levee, and then we'd be sandbagging someone else's house the next day. And then, you know, you're going up and you're eating meals at the army camp. You know, there's just so much going on. And through all that, we were preparing for another football season.
And you were still practicing or getting together
working? Going to lift weights. There was no exemption from that. Like, and even beyond that, we were doing the things at that time that I feel like were unheard of. Like, us kids, we would go to work in the summer. We would work all day long. Like, I worked in the peach orchard with, you know, Tony Friedel and some other guys. And I know that Nate and Jay, those guys, all we worked.
Yeah.
And then we would go after work and lift weights. You know, this wasn't like the only thing we had to do all day, like it seems like many times a day. Yeah. We did this at the end of the day, and we still did it, you know, with great intensity. And then after we lift weights, we'd go out there and we would hook up to either a sled and run and drag that behind us, or we would run with parachutes behind us. So we were putting in full days in addition to sandbagging and, you know, enduring everything that the community went through. It was a very memorable time.
Yes, it was. So you had your sights set again on a state championship.
Mm-hmm.
And how was that year? I mean, if I remember right, there wasn't a lot of competition through the regular season.
No. We did lose one game to an opponent that I don't like to mention their name, but it was I like to think of it as a fluke, and Coach Johns always refers to it as a good dose of medicine that got us going in the right direction. But, you know, again, I was very fortunate. There was such a great group of seniors.
Okay, who'd you lose to? Carrollton?
Greenfield.
Greenfield,
yeah.
Okay.
At Greenfield. At a place that I affectionately refer to as the ditch. You know, we're going over to the ditch. We would always joke that you can't get a fair game in Greenfield, you know.
Yeah.
But they were a good team, and on that day they beat us, right?
So, yeah.
But, you know, the seniors on that team were the leaders. And I'd like to, you know, Nate Lorden.
Go ahead.
You know, Nate, Aaron Elmore, Casey Longnecker, Tony Friedel, Nate Lorden, you know, Tim Jerson, these guys. Like, I had the benefit, the luxury, I realized the next year.
And you were a junior.
I was a junior.
Yeah.
These guys provided the expectations. It was my job to just play, right? And they demanded it of you. Like, I remember, like, Nate kicking me in my butt in the huddle, you know. And it was just awesome because, you know, Just to go forward for a second, like when those guys all graduated the next year, I realized what a burden it was to not just to be a player, but to be a leader. So when they were gone, I felt that. But them having been there really made it easy because they set the expectations. They'd won a state championship. A lot of them were back. Pat Friedel the second as well. You know, they were just great leaders. You know, Wayne Ballman, Brad Rose, Tim Isringhausen. Like, these guys were all returning players, and they expect it to win, right?
Yeah.
And you were going to be a part of that, or you were going to get out, you know?
They were hard on you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And now, your senior year, how'd you guys do your senior year?
We went to the quarterfinals, and in many ways that was overachieving because Ryan Becker had been hurt the whole year before. He was a halfback, and we were really the only two players back that had any experience. So all those guys had graduated. It was a huge vacuum. And so we made it to the quarterfinals, and it was very difficult to accept that after having had, you know, the 2 years before. So it was, in a way, it was exceeding expectations. In another way, it was still certainly let down.
Now, today, you know, a lot of student athletes, high school athletes, and even yesterday and many days, years before, you'll have players that say, okay, I'm going to concentrate in baseball and I'm not playing anything else, even though it's a small school where everybody needs to play. Or I'm just playing basketball, not playing football, not playing baseball. But you were a true football player, right? But yeah, you did play basketball.
Well, yeah, and I often remind my wife in private, right, because I don't like to gloat, that I felt like I was a really good basketball player. You know, I was an All-State honorable mention 2 years, All-Conference, All-Area 2 years. I scored 20 points a game as a senior. But at the end of the day, you know, that was just
– So you averaged 20 points a game?
As a senior, yeah.
Wow.
19.7, right? So
yeah.
I remember.
Yes.
But at the end of the day, that was all silver lining for the opportunity that came, you know, for me later. They looked at that as a bonus. Like, hey, here's a lineman that's also athletic. And the basketball kind of proved that out.
Did they see you play football? Saw you play basketball, but they didn't see you play football. Is that true?
So, yeah, let me...
In person.
I'll tell you how I feel like this all culminated, is going into my senior year, you know, Coach Johns and Coach Brandenburg felt like, hey, you know, we feel like this guy might be good enough, right? And I went to U of I's football camp, and I had virtually no... Like, today, this is already over. University of Illinois. Today, going into your senior year, if you're not being recruited, it's like, which I can't understand how they do that for football. It's still got to be so difficult because for boys, so much development is still happening between that junior and senior year.
Oh, yeah.
But today, it's like the recruiting process is almost wrapped up by the time their senior year starts. But back then, that was not the case. So I went to a U of I football camp and was basically an unknown entity. And when I came home from that camp, I had a very strong camp, and I would say had very good showings against a couple of the guys that University of Illinois had already offered scholarships to.
Uh-huh.
And as soon as I got home, those coaches all talked to one another. The mailbox, the post office box there in Hardin started every night, was overwhelmed with mail.
Yeah.
And then my senior year, I played a game about midway through the season that I remember Coach Brandenburg saying that we feel like this is good enough. We're going to send this film off now. Like, you finally played a game. Good enough, you know. It's they were pretty you know, hard on us, you know. We're gonna send this game off. And after that film went out, they start showing up at the school every night. It was really overwhelming.
Yeah.
You know, because here you are, you played with all these other great players, right? And I remember that being a very difficult time because there was a little bit of the aspect, well, you're also common in Calhoun. It never struck me as a place where there was a lot of social hierarchy. Mm-hmm. You know, everyone treats everybody the same, and you never really think of yourself as any different or better than any. That's what makes it great, right?
Right.
And that's the way a lot of people are around here. But all of a sudden, hey, Craig has got a chance to go Division I, and it became such a distraction. oh, really? Is he good enough to do that? And why does he deserve that? And no one else has gotten this opportunity. And it really became to me privately that if I get this opportunity, I better damn well make sure it happens, because people will be telling me my whole life, if I don't, that it was a fluke. And
right.
I wanted to prove that it wasn't a fluke. And
and you did.
Yeah.
But, well, Craig, believe it or not, we've run out of time on this episode, but I'm going to have you back.
Sounds great.
All right. Take care.
Yep.
Okay, we're going to stop this one.